From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The World Health Organization yesterday hung a big cancer warning sign around processed meats and red meat. Processed meats, hot dogs, bacon, cold cuts, and on, definitely a carcinogen, they said. Red meat, they said, likely is too. Today, a lot of Americans trying to figure out how to respond to that headline. This hour on Point, we'll look at what's really being said here on processed meats, red meat, cancer, and our health. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you reimagining your diet today? Have you already moved on from these meats? Have you really? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Here yesterday in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Tom Butler talked with local news station WNEP about whether or not he would change his eating habits based on the new WHO recommendations.
Like I say, every year they seem to come up with a new list of things that you shouldn't eat. And I've been eating things for 80 years now, so it's still going, you know.
Sounds like it won't change your eating habits at all.
No, I don't think so.
He's not going to change, but maybe he should. Maybe you should. Joining me first today from Washington is Peter Wolryski, staff writer at the Washington Post, writes about food policy. His article, Hot Dogs, Bacon, and all the rest, you can link to at our website, onpointradio.org. Peter Wolryski, welcome to On Point. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What exactly is this group saying?
What they did, their report came out yesterday and said, they looked at the evidence and said processed meat, that's bacon, corned beef, all the things that many people like, are definitely carcinogens, and that red meat probably is too. What sort of left out is what people should do about it, because they said we don't. Somebody asked, should we all become vegetarians? They said, well, we didn't really look at that. There was another question, how much meat is safe to eat? They said, we can't really answer that either. So it's kind of a difficult thing to know what to do for most consumers.
Can we look for a second, Peter, at exactly what falls into that processed meat category here? I mean, I'm reading meats that have been salted, cured, fermented, smoked, other processes to enhance flavor or improve preservation. Is that essentially everything at the deli counter?
I think so. I can't think of too many things at the deli counter that haven't been done treated in some way, mostly for preservation, but also to make them taste better.
What if it's not red meat? What if it's, I don't know, sliced chicken, you know, that's been packaged, or turkey for that matter, or fish for that matter, smoked salmon?
As I understand it, turkey bacon, it was a question I got a lot yesterday, and as I read the WHO recommendation, turkey bacon would also be considered a processed meat.
But what about just plain old, you know, sliced turkey that you're buying for turkey sandwiches? If that's been salted a little bit, does that slide in here too?
I think if it's been salted for preservation, but I don't think it would be considered processed if you just, you know, put some salt on your turkey.
Okay. We'll put that in a different category. We won't close Thanksgiving down just yet. They have classified processed meat as a group one carcinogen. Is that where people come up with this in the same category as cigarettes and asbestos?
Exactly. And what that means is not that they are as dangerous as those two, as cigarettes and asbestos. It just means that the evidence connecting cancer to processed meats is as strong as the evidence connecting cigarettes and asbestos to cancer.
How did they come up with this? These are big statements. We'll look at red meat itself, but who says, and we read it wasn't unanimous. What does that mean?
There's a 22-member panel of experts that met recently in Lyon, France, who discussed, I think, upwards of 800 studies, and decided that, on the whole, the evidence is strong enough to suggest that, yes, processed meat definitely causes cancer, and that red meat probably does.
And the cancer they're talking about with processed meat is bowel or colorectal cancer. Is it the same in the case of red meat? Not the same category, but the same cancer threat?
Yes. There were a few other ones, but the main threat, in their view, is colorectal cancer for both processed and red meat.
And by how much did the steady consumption of these, here I'm looking at 3.5 ounces of red meat per day, or 1.8 ounces of processed meat per day, how much would that raise the risk?
The way I sort of broke it down into my own basic diet is that if I were to have a quarter pounder a day extra, I would be increasing my risk of colorectal cancer by about 17 or 18%.
Now, when you say extra, do you mean in addition to the four others that you would be eating, or do you just mean having a quarter pounder at all?
I'd have to cut, not likewise if I, cut back from four a day to three a day, I would reduce my percentage by 17%.
Is the suggestion in this that people ought to steer clear entirely from these meats or something else? I mean, when people
really
talk about
question.
Cigarettes, they say, forget it, don't smoke at all.
Right.
You talk about asbestos, you don't want to sit around breathing it at all.
Yes, and it's a question that the WHO, the World Health Organization, sort of asked of itself and said, we don't know. They just said, basically, the more you eat, the higher your risk is. Is there a safe level of meat to eat? We don't. They said we don't have the data on that. Likewise, should we all become vegetarians? They said, no, we don't have data on that either.
Peter, why do you think they came out with this just now? You could analyze all these studies anytime. It's not exactly news that these aren't the best foods going anywhere. What's pushed the WHO to come out with this right now?
That's a good question that I'm not exactly sure of the answer, except that they, decided, I think it was more than a year ago, and I think one of your other guests might be able to better answer
mm-hmm.
this. They decided more than a year ago to take a look at this. I suspect it's because there has been so many different studies on this, so many questions about this. The World Cancer, something called the World Cancer Research Fund, came up with a similar finding several years ago. It hasn't really been followed by the other health organizations, but in this case, the World Health Organization decided to pick up the question, and they answered it yesterday.
Peter Wariski at the Washington Post covering all this. Thank you very much for getting us started today, Peter. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The meat industry, very quick to respond here. This was Shailene McNeil with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association talking with NBC immediately yesterday, contesting the WHO study.
Scientific evidence just simply doesn't support a causal link between any type of red or processed meat and any type of cancer.
Well, that's what she says, but it's not what all these scientists with the World Health Organization said loud and clear yesterday. We're going to look at what they're telling us, what it might mean for diets. With us now from Houston is Carrie Daniel, nutritional epidemiologist at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Carrie Daniel, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. Hello.
Hi. And with us from Washington is Dr. Paola Boffetta, professor of medical oncology, preventive medicine, chief of cancer prevention and control at Mount Sinai Hospital. The research is focused on environmental factors for cancer. That includes food, served on similar WHO panels in the past. Dr. Boffetta, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Dr. Boffetta, let me come first to you. What should this mean to Americans when it comes to hot dogs and bacon and hamburgers?
Well, I think there is an important misunderstanding here. This is not a statement, or this is not a recommendation of what people should and shouldn't eat. These recommendations are made by other organizations, by the FDA, for example, or other national authorities. The program that came out with this evaluation is really limited to evaluating the scientific evidence, which should be the basis, it should support the dietary recommendations. So really, the WHO is not recommending people to eat less or more meat or abstain from meat or whatever. It simply says we think the data support the conclusion that there may be a link between eating more meat and having a small increase in this particular type of cancer.
Dr. Boffetta, you're losing me on a couple of levels right there. Maybe a link? That sounds like the meat industry. They said yesterday there is a link. They called these processed meats group 1 carcinogens. That's not a tentative statement.
Yes, no, you're right. This there was a definitive state for processed meat and a more a weaker statement for red meat. I was sort of linking the two together. But the point I was trying to make is that this is not a dietary recommendation.
Well, how can that be, Dr. Buffetta? I mean, if it's a group 1 carcinogen, if that was on the menu, would you like a group 1 carcinogen today? I don't think I would be ordering it.
Well, I have group 1 carcinogens on my menu. I mean, alcoholic beverages are also in group 1.
Okay.
And still people drink wine or beer.
Okay.
So it's a matter of putting this data into a broader perspective. And this is what the step which is missing here between evaluating the scientific data and then come up with specific recommendations for different groups of the population, etc.
Carrie Daniel, cut back a little or run from processed meat, red meat?
I think Paolo is making a very good point that we, and also that Peter mentioned about the smoking statement. There is some certain misunderstanding in the interpretation of what the WHO is trying to present. And this is adding, as Peter said, to a previous report, and the evidence has been upgraded based on the increased amount of prospective studies that have come out. And so it is really meant for the scientific community to be, you know, it's up to us to work on this message. But I would just say that, you know, the message has not really changed in terms of cancer prevention. I'd still say the number one is don't smoke and get screened, and then start thinking about your body weight and your diet. And red and processed meat is a good place to start.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the cancer risks of processed meat, red meat, hot dogs, bacon, ham, bologna, all that steak you might want, and the tough new warning out from the World Health Organization. You can join us this hour. Is this a problem for your diet? Do you jump from sausage in your breakfast sandwich to a ham sandwich for lunch to ribeye or hamburger helper for dinner, skirt steak, fajitas? Does the smell of bacon just make you feel all warm and cozy inside? What are you going to do now? Are you going to change? Did you leave meat long ago? We've got Carrie Daniel with us from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, nutritional epidemiologist there. And from Washington, Dr. Paolo Buffetta joins us. He's at the he's in charge of cancer prevention and control, the Department of Oncological Sciences at Mount Sinai Hospital. You want to know how big beef, red meat, is in the American diet? You all remember this. This was put out by the Cattlemen's Beef Board, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Little music from Aaron Copland in the background.
Words out. The taste you love is also a good source of things you need, like iron, zinc, protein, and some B vitamins. Beef. It's what's for dinner tonight.
The taste you love, also a good source of things you need, iron, zinc, protein, some B vitamins. WHO yesterday saying, carcinogen maybe as well. It's not just beef. I mean, listen to this commercial for Carl's Jr.'s. This they call sandwich they call their most American thick burger. Listen to what's in this cheeseburger.
What's more American than a cheeseburger? This cheeseburger, loaded with a hot dog and potato chips. In the hands of all-American model Samantha Hoops. In a hot tub. In a pickup truck. Driven by an American bull rider. On an aircraft carrier. Under the gaze of Lady Liberty. As she admires the most American thick burger.
Okay, the most American thick burger. Never mind the model, but that's a big old cheeseburger with a hot dog and potato chips inside. Tim in Detroit, Michigan, you're on the air. What are you eating, Tim?
I'm currently a meat lover, but my wife and I are quite concerned about this new information that has been released. Actually, she last year had a soy-enriched deposit on her back that was removed. That was actually malignant, and I cannot eat gluten because of the glyphosate in it. And I wanted to know, what options do I have now if I can't eat meat?
Well, I mean, nobody here is saying you can't eat meat, but if Carrie Daniel, I'll come to you first. You're our nutritional person here. If people read this and say, I want to make a change, what's a change I can live with and still have nutrition and protein? What do you say, Carrie?
Sure. So I think it's important to clarify a little bit what red and processed meat means and why they're focusing on those two things. So it's sort of layers of risk is one way to think about it. You were mentioning things like turkey bacon and things like turkey lunch meat versus, say, pork bacon and things like that. There are components of red meat that have been linked to cancer. There are components of processed meat that have been linked to cancer. The two combined layer together to have multiple components that link to cancer. So, for example, bacon is a hot one, pork bacon. And they're trying to give some reference from the studies. What is, you know, an amount that's appearing in the studies that's a safe amount? They came up with 50 grams a day, which is about half a deck of cards. And when you're thinking about that in your diet, you have to think about the frequency and the portion size. So you might be able to have a little bit every day, or not every day, but almost every day, or you might be able to have one in one big sitting to reach that risk.
Oh, wait a minute. Half a deck of cards, in American terms, that's a very small amount of meat.
Yes,
but are
absolutely,
you saying,
especially in Texas.
Yes. Are you saying, though, from the Texas, the MD Anderson Cancer Center, you're interpreting what the WHO said to mean you can have that much processed meat every day, and that's A-okay?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
What are you
saying? To give some perspective on the amount.
Yeah.
And also, I will say that these, I'm also, my doctorate's in epidemiology and nutrition. And when we look at the way that diet is assessed from these studies, it's typical that the amount consumed can be underreported or underestimated. So we can't necessarily say what amount is safe. There's no clear-cut amount. But what the evidence is saying is that when we piece this all together, we are seeing strong evidence from human epidemiologic studies, animal studies, biological mechanisms, some of the early clinical translational. While none standing alone may be that impressive, pulling it together, we should be thinking about the amount that we consume and or the frequency. It is not saying you can't eat it at all necessarily. But you need to think about the quantity. You need to think about your body size. You need to think about multiple things when you're changing your diet. Mm. So there is no one size fits all here. I don't think anyone's saying give it all up forever. But I think if you're really concerned about cancer prevention, like the gentleman calling in, that red and processed meat, the evidence is about as strong as we have for diet, you know, the consistency for dietary component and a range of cancer sites, that that is a good place to start looking at your diet.
Dr. Boffetta, can you explain to us why salting, curing, smoking, fermentation, processing of meats does or might, what would lead to it being carcinogenic?
Well, it is not known for certainty, but there are a number of chemicals that are formed during the curing or the smoking process. And some of these chemicals, they are called nitroso compounds, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, or heterocyclic aromatic amines. These are groups of chemicals that are causing cancer in experimental animals when they are given at high doses to animals. Obviously, we don't know exactly what they do in humans because we don't eat those chemicals alone. You know, they're part of food. So this is a plausible explanation because some of these processes, including high-temperature cooking, generally increases the level of these chemicals in the different meat products.
Those chemicals go up and the risk goes up with them. Rama in Newburyport, Massachusetts. Rama, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I'm doing my best to cut down on all this stuff, but I do like to eat a little beef once in a while, cold cuts once in a while. I'm trying to buy the cold cuts that have no nitrites, no nitrates, and you know, free range as much as possible. Does that make a difference, or did I just hear the doctor say it's not necessarily the nitrites and nitrates, and it's not whether it's hormone-free or free-range. It's kind of like the process it goes through. So I'm kind of wondering if I'm making the healthy choices for the cold cuts or the healthy free-range beef, does that make a difference?
Paulo, is there a healthy choice when it comes to cold cuts, deli meats?
I think reducing the amount of nitrate and nitrate in the meat is a good thing because it will probably reduce also the level of some of these compounds that are formed. So that's, I think, is a good approach. But let me reiterate, we are not, I think we cannot, we should not translate this evaluation from yesterday into a recommendation that people should stop eating meat. I mean, that's not what it says.
Stephen in Highbridge, Wisconsin. Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, I'm a farmer, and I actually am driving a pickup truck. I just pulled over, and I have a stock trailer behind me. And I literally, 30 minutes ago, had six pigs in it that I just dropped off at the processors. And yes, I'm having bacon made.
Okay, so how do you feel? Did you raise those pigs, Stephen?
Yes, I'm an organic farmer. My wife and I raise organic vegetables and also pork and lamb. And we rely on this for our business. And one of the questions I had when I heard the World Health Organization come out with their studies was, how was the meat raised? Are we talking factory-raised hormone and antibiotic, GMO-fed, pesticide-laden animals, or are we talking organic animals? And that's one of my questions. And I think the consumers should know that there are differences in the meat and how it's grown, and there may be differences then in what the meat does to you.
Stephen, I were enjoying picturing you in the middle of your work there, but the question mark is there as well. Dr. Buffetta here, Stephen and his wife, they work hard to have organic pork that they're raising, but then he's just dropped it off to be turned into bacon. So is that what matters? Is it the processing in the end? What about what comes before the processing, how the livestock is raised?
Well, I'm afraid the statement does not get to this level of details, and they combined all processed meat together and all red meat together. They didn't even distinguish between the different animals, I mean the different type of meat. So, and this is because of the type of data that are available in the studies they reviewed. And I agree, this is an important aspect that has not been addressed by the current evaluation. So it's very plausible that organic meat is better for a number of reasons, maybe not only because of cancer risk, but that's something that we cannot really draw from the available data.
Even if it's turned into bacon, I mean, they talk about, you know, salting, curing, smoking, that's what makes bacon, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I was talking about the difference between organic and non-organic meat, which I thought it was part of the question.
Well, yes, coming in, they said red meat, probably carcinogenic. And, of course, that's beef and pork and veal and lamb. I want to bring Marion Nessel in, if I may. Professor of Nutrition, Food Studies, Public Health at New York University joins us from New York. Marion Nessel, welcome back to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Glad to be here.
We've got lots of questions stacked up from our listeners, but I want to first just get your big response to this. There's been a lot of encouragement to people for years to eat less meat and to eat less processed meat, but this is the clearest sort of big stamp that I've ever seen put on it that just says, processed meat, boom, carcinogenic. Red meat, boom, probably so as well. What should people take from this, Marion?
That they need to eat less meat. And that message has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that means smaller portions and less frequent. And the interesting thing about this, of course, is that the climate change people are also saying this because animal agriculture has such an important effect on climate change that eating less beef in particular is going to be better for your health and better for the environment.
So do you just – what do you recommend? I mean, people need protein. They need nutrition. The meat industry says we've got both right here in our meat. With this report out and what you already know, do you say steer clear of all the lunch meats or a little now and then?
No, I say eat a largely plant-based diet. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's an exclusively plant-based diet, but we've known for decades that vegetarians have lower rates of chronic diseases like heart disease and cancer than people who eat meat, and the meat recommendations have been around since the 1950s for heart disease, and for the 1970s for cancer. So this is not something that should come as a shock to anyone. The big shock was the clarity with which this message was expressed. They just weren't mincing words at all, except for the probably. I don't know what you do with probably.
Around red meat, yeah.
On red meat.
Well.
But these recommendations have been around a long time based on the available evidence. So now we throw climate change into the picture, and people would be healthier eating a largely plant-based diet, which is what federal authorities have been recommending for decades, although not putting it in quite those terms.
And, of course, we know that. And nevertheless, look at the volume of meat sold and consumed and raised in this country. Kevin in Buffalo, New York. Kevin, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. I'm a clinical exercise physiologist at a wellness program, so we're like on the front lines of all this research. So we deal with a lot of questions from our patients whenever whenever there's a
sure.
news briefing on this. And what we tell our patients is, yes, they may these meat may cause cancer. There may be research out there that shows a correlation. You had to look at your nutrition as a whole. Hey,
Kevin, can we just back up for a second because I want to make
sure.
clear again? They are not saying correlation. They are saying causal, and they're saying processed meat
causal.
Causes cancer. Just
okay,
for
yeah.
clarity about what this report says, that's stronger.
Okay. Well, and
no, it raises the risk.
Well, yes, okay. It's a group one carcinogen.
Right, and it raises the risk for cancer. That doesn't mean that if you eat processed meat, you're going to get cancer.
No, I didn't say that, but yeah,
chance of getting cancer is greater
because this stuff causes cancer.
Yes. All right.
Said red meat probably carcinogenic. Processed meat carcinogenic.
Right.
May I pipe in for
yes,
one
please,
moment?
Carrie.
This is Dr. Daniel at MD Anderson. Basically, the dietary recommendations for cancer risk, if you were to go on the internet and Google that right now from reliable sources like the American Cancer Society and the
yeah.
American Institute for Cancer Research, what you're going to see is a statement that says, limit intake of red and processed meats and choose leaner protein sources, including fish, chicken,
mm-hmm.
Try to eat more beans or legumes as your protein source. So this particular report still fits within those recommendations that we've had for some time. It also says to increase, fill your plate with more plant foods so that you're not hungry by cutting out some of the other things. So it's not really changing the dialogue here. It's bringing more attention to those recommendations that have been in place for some time, just to reiterate what Marianne was saying.
Oh, I think it is changing the dialogue when you call things group one carcinogens. That's an element in the dialogue. I mean, the recommendations still sound really pretty good. I guess, Dr. Buffetta, as you point out, they don't say what you should do with this information. What do you tell your patients, Dr. Buffetta?
No, well, I think we all agree that a recommendation to reduce or have a low, relatively low intake of meat and animal products in general is a good recommendation, not only for cancer, but for a number of other chronic diseases. And as has been said, this has been around for a long time. So I really don't think that this the evaluation made this week would mm-hmm. change the picture, really. It will be used to probably generate more data on the dose response, on the effect of different meat, and all this will help us, to refine the recommendations. But the general recommendation to reduce or to keep meat intake relatively low has been, as we said, it's been around for a long time and it's consistent with this evaluation.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the cancer risks of processed meat, red meat, hot dogs, bacon, ham, bologna, that steak you might want, and the tough new warning out from the World Health Organization that we've all heard about just in the last couple of days. You can join us this hour. Moms, dads, what are you going to put in the lunch box now? If it was ham sandwiches before, you're going to stay there or maybe do something different? Carrie Daniel is with us from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, nutritional epidemiologist there. Paola Boffetta is with us from Mount Sinai Hospital there in the Department of Oncological Sciences. Marion Nessel joins us from New York University, professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health. Lots of people responding to this, trying to get a sense of the level of risk comes along with what the WHO is describing. Here is Dr. David Agus, oncologist, talking with CBS News Monday about the WHO finding.
Processed foods can slightly increase your risk predominantly of colon cancer. To put that in perspective, the lifetime risk of colon cancer is 5%. If you have a hot dog every day, your risk goes to 6%, an 18% increase. So it's very, very small.
Okay, we're in the numbers and it can sound small, but it all depends how you put it. Here in 2012, there was another study from researchers at Harvard School of Public Health. Archives of Internal Medicine showed red meat had serious consequences. Here from CNN.
If you eat even one serving of red meat a day, you're increasing your risk of an early death by as much as 20%. Now, that startling finding, it is the headline from a new study by Harvard researchers.
Headlines, headlines. And here an ad for people who want to opt out of that or try to from Morningstar Farms.
We're taking the veg of allegiance.
We pledge to swap meat for a veggie protein.
I veg allegiance.
To eating less saturated fats.
To my husband, to my kids.
To less wasted water.
Less greenhouse gases.
To feeling amazing.
Okay, I've got a question off of that. They're vegging allegiance. Carrie Daniel, here, a listener online, JB asks, please discuss whether meat substitutes, in quotes, such as tofurkey and fake sausage, also carry a risk for cancer. They work very hard to take that vegetable material and make it taste like meat. Does that mean that they're putting all that salt and, curing kind of stuff in there, even though it's veggie-based?
Sure. Well, that's something you're going to have to look at your individual boxes that you're buying. But there's typically a lot of additives in that food, but we don't know much about that. That's not something that's heavily consumed by the U.S. population. And when we're doing these epidemiologic studies, it's difficult to quantify risk from things that people simply don't eat. In reality, there is quite high consumption of red and processed meat in the United States. This is something that we're able to look at, you know, with some confidence. And so that's the focus of this report, not meat substitutes and sort of these real specific, detailed, nitty-gritty food choices. We can't really
But that's where people
say.
Live. I mean, if they want to get off processed
Absolutely.
Meat and meat, that may be the first place they look. And so the question is a good and obvious one, isn't it?
Right. Well, my message is always the same as everything in moderation. People like to fixate on one particular food component when they talk about diet and cancer. It just simply isn't that simple. It's never going to be that simple. Diet is incredibly complicated. Cancer is incredibly complicated. So when you're making these choices, think about your whole diet. Think about your body weight. Get the recommended screening. You're not going to make or break your cancer risk just by changing one thing.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough, though meat's a pretty big thing in the American diet. Still, Aaron in Omaha, Nebraska. Aaron, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a question and a comment. The question has to do with fish. We've been reading for years now how so much of the fish that's served to us in the United States comes from places like China or Vietnam or the Philippines, and they farm those fish. They don't get them out of the ocean. They're coming out of a big pool. And, of course, in those countries, they throw antibiotics in the water to keep the fish from dying because they're so crammed in. So if I swap out fish for the red meat, I feel like I'm getting a lot of chemicals and antibiotics from a lot of the fish that I buy at Costco, and it feels like I'm not doing myself a lot of good if I'm swapping it out for meat. Then my comment is, I'm eating a big bowl of chili right now.
Okay.
But I went to the gym this morning. Right, as they do every day.
Okay.
And I don't eat chili every day. We eat beans and rice throughout the week. There's vegetarian days that my family eats, and then there's other days where we eat chicken.
Yeah.
Or one serving of beef. And I feel like that there's no reason that we should all panic, because as one of your guests has already stated, these recommendations about diet have been out there for a long time. And for those of us who sort of live by that, we just look at this and say, yeah, we already knew that let's move on, and I will have some bacon this weekend because I only have it every couple of weeks.
Hey, Aaron, I appreciate your outlook and your call. Mary Nissel, can we go to the fish meat question first? When people look for protein alternatives, many will look right away to fish, and you hear Aaron's concern.
Well, those are legitimate concerns, particularly for food safety reasons, when so much of our seafood is coming from Asia, where the standards for producing them may not be as high as they are in the best places where fish is farmed. Farmed fish is complicated. It can be done very well. But it's what you're feeding the fish and what you're treating them with that really counts. So you want to look for seafood, for farmed seafood that hasn't been treated.
How do you know?
Well, it says so on the label.
No antibiotics were tossed in the pool?
They would use that as a marketing tool, because that's what people are looking for. I mean, these things are complicated. We have an industrial food system, and part of what the food movement is about is to try to change the industrial food system into a food system that's more careful about these kinds of things.
But when I go to the fish counter, Mary, and I don't see labels all over the fish, there I see fish in ice.
The fish counter is the Wild West of the supermarket. I mean, every time somebody does a study to try to find out whether the fish that are labeled as being one kind of fish or another, they find out that it's not. They find farmed salmon being sold as wild salmon because it's much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need a much, much better regulatory system for what's going on in fish generally. But the regulatory agency for fish is not USDA or FDA, really. It's NOAA for the production side. And, you know, we need to be looking at this. People really care about where their food comes from for very good reasons.
Mary, may I ask you also, I loved Aaron's call from Omaha. I mean, he's off to the gym. He tries to have a well-balanced diet. And he's kind of pushing back on this WHO announcement, saying, we've known this. But culturally, we're quite attached to meat, in spite of everything that we know or we've been told. And I wonder if there's a cultural resistance to really moving the dial here, Mary. And even when we get an announcement like this, I mean, they came out with this presumably in part to get people's attention, you know, to say, okay, we know it, but pay attention. It's group one carcinogen.
Yeah, sales of red meat are down in the United States, and they've been falling for years. It's been largely replaced with chicken, which is a better choice, although we can go into that one as well. And so that message is out. And this ought to accelerate that trend, I would think. But that trend has been going on for years now.
We've got a question here from Evan. It says, to your point on chicken, what about raw chicken that's been pumped with brine to keep it tender? There's a lot of chicken processed this way, though that wouldn't be in the deli counter. It's just chicken. Is that all right?
It may not be in the carcinogen section either. It's just not a very good way of preparing meat. But that's what I mean by these kinds of issues are very important for people who care about where their food comes from. And if you have money, you can buy these meats that are grown very well and raised appropriately and treated well. If you're not rich, then you're buying the cheapest things you possibly can. And they're the ones that are going to be raised in ways that reduce costs and allow the companies that are selling them to make maximum profit.
Of course, I mean, red meat's still red meat, and processed is processed. But Alejandra in Miami, Florida. Alejandra, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What's your question, Alejandra?
It's more of a comment. I've had childhood cancer before, and about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with thyroid disease.
Okay.
Finding out that your chances of a reoccurring cancer is 1 in 3, usually, and noticing that cancer patients usually get a vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
I made the switch 5 years ago on Christmas Day and haven't looked back. While it smells great, I just can't afford the cost on the outside, just in case.
So you don't want to risk meat having already had a brush with cancer. Alejandra, wish you luck with that. Dr. Buffetta, what about people at special risk? Should they be more attuned to these WHO recommendations?
Well, this is an important question, and I don't think we know enough to recommend different, to have different recommendations regarding diet for people at higher risk. The higher background risk is important to try to reduce all the other possible risk factors, but we don't know whether processed meat, just to take the example we're talking today, mm-hmm. has a stronger effect in people with a higher background risk for family history or mm-hmm. whatever. So I think the whatever recommendation should be drawn by this data or the entire body of evidence, it should apply across the board, and people at high risk should be particularly concerned and should apply it probably more carefully, but we don't have data to say whether this is more or less important for one particular subgroup of the population.
Mm-hmm. Alejandra, thank you. Jackie in Carrollton, Georgia. Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Just want to make a quick comment. I've been a vegan for several years, never been healthier. That vegan means I don't eat any animal products whatsoever, including eggs and cheese. So pleased that the comment came up about the factory farm fish, the amount of antibiotics that are thrown into those pools because of the large numbers of fish that are swimming in their own feces, et cetera. Also be aware of the chickens and the amount of growth hormones that are pumped into the factory farm poultry industry and the antibiotics to keep those chickens, who are also tens of thousands living in chicken houses, walking in their own.
So how do you do it, Jackie? We hear the vegan, flat denunciation of all that, and I get it. How do you get your protein?
Thank you for asking that question. It's so easy. There's so many plant-based products that are full of protein, your leafy greens. I do eat tofu and tempeh in a lot of products. I will put a drink, start my day with a beautiful veggie fruit smoothie most mornings. And so occasionally we'll put in some vegan plant-based protein powder in those. The only supplement I take is a B12, which is necessary for those who don't eat any animal products at all. It is so easy to get ample protein from a whole foods plant-based diet. I am also cautious to eat organic vegetables and fruits whenever possible.
We got it. Ladies and gents, there's the vegan way, and it may look attractive after this announcement from the WHO. Marion, what do you say to sort of ordinary Americans who say, I don't want to get as much of my protein from meat for environmental reasons, for WHO announcement reasons? What do you find the most effective way for them to turn for protein and nutrition?
Well, there's really no problem about protein. Most Americans get twice the protein they need from the diet that they're consuming, and vegetarians and vegans can get plenty of protein from plants. It's really not an issue. There's protein in any kind of rice or grain. There's protein in beans. There's protein in vegetables. By the time you put it all together, if you're eating enough calories and eating a reasonably varied vegetarian or vegan diet, you're going to get enough protein. It's just not an issue.
Jeremy, Platteville, Wisconsin. Jeremy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'll be quick. I know we're running on the end here. Yeah. I just wanted to say my wife and I have known about this for a while, and basically, it kind of got us in the mindset that we really want to go out and kind of be self-sustaining, you know, grow our own foods and, you know, slaughter our own meats to kind of really cut back on this. But, I mean, to have it just kind of thrown out there, you know, it's kind of a kick in the pants because, you know, it's been a couple of years now that we've been working towards this. And, you know, it really makes us want to get in there and really, really start doing it now. I guess my main question is, I remember when I lived in Germany for a couple of years, I noticed that their process selection was very, very limited on what they could get. And I'm just wondering, you know, in the United States, why are we able to get so much processed food where in other countries they are really limited on what they can sell?
Germany, land of sausage and all that. I mean, it sounds like processed to me, but I take your point. Carrie Daniel, what about our food stock that we're offered overall in this country to help us or not help us line up with these findings?
Actually, I would turn that one to Marion. I would open up one of her books and pull a quote from there normally for that kind of question.
Marion?
We have a phenomenal processed food industry in this country that makes lots and lots of money. And that's what this is about. It's about food companies selling products. No one food is essential in the human diet. There is no such thing as an essential food, even dairy products, even milk. You can put together a diet that meets nutritional requirements from a variety of other kinds of food. So people have an enormous leeway in the kind of diet that they can choose to promote their health if that's an issue, or to eat the kinds of foods they like. There's no one diet that solves all problems. We can describe them in general and say that a largely plant-based diet is the appropriate diet for everything. We only have one diet that covers all kinds of things, and that's a largely plant-based diet. That's good for heart disease, it's good for cancer, it's good for obesity, it's good for anything.
Marion, if everybody took your advice tomorrow, how different would an American supermarket look?
Oh, it would look very different. It would look very, very different. There would be many fewer foods in packages. There would be a much greater range, even than there is now, in the produce section. And the produce would cost less than it does now, so that everybody could afford it.
Marion Nestle, it's been great to have you with us today. Everybody's taking this on board and looking at how to integrate or learn from it. Marion Nestle at New York University, Professor of Nutrition there. Thank you so much for joining us. Carrie Daniel, nutritional epidemiologist at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Thank you very much, Carrie Daniel, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And at Mount Sinai Hospital, Dr. Paolo Buffetta joining us today from Washington. Thank you so much, Dr. Buffetta, for your insights today.
Thank you.
Listeners, good luck with your diet. Good luck with your health. Hot dogs, you were good for a while. You can continue this conversation. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.